This is the second Sunday of the season of Easter. And several years ago, Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John II, declared that this should be known as Divine Mercy Sunday. And so what I'd like to do is spend some time with you talking about mercy, God's mercy, and the communication of that mercy to us in the different ways that the Church has, specifically in the celebration of the Eucharist and also in the celebration of the sacrament of penance. But let me start as to why we call this Divine Mercy Sunday. I want you to examine the Gospels, because in the Gospels, what we have today is Jesus appearing to the disciples, except for Thomas, and he says, the first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." Now, why would that be? Well, I want you to think through the behavior of the disciples up until this point. These were the guys who swore their lives to Jesus, who swore they would die with Jesus if necessary. But when really it mattered, when they came to arrest him, what happened? They all fled. They all just went away. And then at the crucifixion, only one disciple was there, and that was John. And if you remember, it was at that moment when Jesus says to John, "John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." Okay? By the way, just a tiny little aside. When people say that, because there's people that go around saying that Jesus had brothers and sisters because it says the word brother and sister periodically. The word brother and sister was used for, in the generic sense, brothers and sisters. Like I say to you, brothers and sisters. But the other thing I always like to think of, can you imagine how insulting it would have been if Jesus from the cross told his mother to be taken care of by one of his friends instead of his own family? And you know why he did that? Because he didn't have any brothers. Anyway, that's an aside. But the apostles all finked out. They all left. Now, have you ever had the experience? I know I have many times. When you do something and you're embarrassed to tears and you don't want to see the person, okay, you're hoping that you don't run into the person because you're embarrassed to see them. That's happened probably to all of us in one way or another, okay? So when Jesus appears, you can bet your life that these apostles were all fairly ashamed of what they had done. I mean, especially Peter. I mean, here you got this guy who's all macho, and he's, "Oh, I'm going to die with you, Jesus, no matter what." And he was the first one to just whip out of there and deny him later on in the Pharisees, I mean, in the head chief courtyard. So Jesus had to come in, and he knew how they felt. He knew how they felt. And so Jesus comes up, and he starts the dialogue. He starts the dialogue. Now, what could you have expected? Can you imagine that Jesus could have, he could have appeared there and just stood in front of them and go, "Yeah, big shots, aren't you? You guys who are just ready to die for me." And he could have made them feel like garbage. But what's the first thing he does? He doesn't even wait. Doesn't wait. He immediately says, "Peace. Peace be with you." The offering of mercy is before the act of contrition. I find that very interesting, that the offering of mercy is before the act of contrition. And if you remember, is consistent. Remember the parable of the prodigal son, when the son takes all his father's inheritance and he spends it all in all kinds of weird stuff? When he comes back, the father goes running out to him before the son gets home. You can imagine the son from far away watching his father running to him. If I were that, I would think, oh God, here he comes. He's going to kill me. And what does the father do? He immediately throws his arms around the son. It's after he has welcomed the son back that the apology is made. Father, I am not worthy to be called your son. And then the father doesn't even respond. He doesn't even say, oh, that's okay. He says, bring out the fatted calf, for my son has returned. Okay? So I want you to notice that the offer of mercy is before the apology. Because God has revealed himself as an unending offer of mercy. To me, the central act that the Catholic Church has tattooed in our minds is the act of the forgiveness in the crucifixion. That's why whenever you go into a Catholic church, you're not going to see what you see in Protestant churches, which is an empty cross, which is good. It's okay. But what the Catholic Church is saying, that moment behind me, when Jesus, when he had every reason to look at his father and said, Father, look at what these idiots have done to me. To hell with all of them. And he would have been perfectly justified to do that. What does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Mercy before contrition. That's what is unbelievable. And by the way, just aside, when people say to me, and this I almost want to beat my head, when people say to me, well, we all believe in the same God. No, we don't. No. The only religion in the entire world to believe that God is mercy and love is Christianity. Now, Jews believe that God is more justice and that he loves us. But nobody says God is love. God is mercy. That is strictly a Christian thing. You know, if you're Buddhist or Hindu, God is not that. He's the creator, the sustainer, the destroyer, the one. If you're Muslim, we are the objects of his creation, and we're like things that are meant to please him. He's nice to us if you're nice to him. He's not nice if you're not nice to him. There's no other religion that says that God forgives and loves prior to us even repenting. And so what John Paul II wanted to really emphasize is that's the identity of God. And notice, immediately after Easter, because of the peace be with you, because Jesus knew that the apostles were ashamed of who they had become, the fakeness that they had displayed. And Jesus knew that they needed to hear it. Now, let me move into a little bit of the sacrament of reconciliation. Because I think with Catholics, I tell you, there's a lot of misunderstanding about divine mercy when you go to confession. Now, I'm going to be using one of three words. Confession, reconciliation, or penance, the sacrament of penance. They're the same thing. The sacrament of confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of penance. It's different names for exactly the same thing. So the question is that a lot of times I hear people say is, why? Why do you need a priest? Can't I go to God myself? And if you're saying, Father, yes, mercy is before the apology. Why is it that I have to go to confession? Well, let me explain it to you. I'm going to explain the way I did, telling you the story of how I explain it to little kids, and not because you're little kids, but because it's a cute explanation and it makes perfect sense. These are kids that have not made their first confession. And so I'm standing there on the other side of the baptismal font, and they're all sitting back there, and it's their first confession. And they don't exactly know why they have to go talk to the priest. Well, they've been catechized, but I'm going to give them a little explanation. So what I do is I invite one of their teachers to come up to me and stand right beside me. And I say to the teacher, now I want you to make believe that I let you look at my brand new iPhone 10. Okay? And I want you to make believe that you got angry with me and you took my iPhone 10 and you went, wham! And you tore it to pieces. And then when you calm down, you are coming to me now asking for forgiveness. And you do that and let me just react. This is a kind of a little play we're putting on. But you just keep asking me for forgiveness and just see what I do. And so the teacher starts and saying, Father, I'm really sorry. I lost my temper. I really lost my temper. And I'm sorry about doing that to your iPhone. I know you use it a lot. I'm telling you, I will replace it. I am very sorry. Please forgive me. And what I do is I stand there looking directly at her or him, but it's usually her, and I look at her like this. And the teacher once again says, Father, did you hear me right? I'm asking your forgiveness. And I just look at her. And I let this go on for about 3 to 4 minutes. And you should hear the lengths to which different people will go. I'll buy you 2 iPhones. I'll wash your car. All kinds of stuff. And all I do is, I don't smile. I don't do anything. And then, I finally say to the teacher, okay, go sit down. And I don't say it pleasantly. I say, go sit down. Now, I then talk to the kids. And that teacher is really bad. Do you know she tore up my iPhone? She tore it up. And they're looking at me. And all I have to do is scratch a little bit, and I find out that they're not angry at her. They're angry at me. And I ask, why are you angry at me? She was the one who broke my iPhone. And they say, because you let her stand there and you didn't forgive her. You didn't. And then my response is always, but wait a minute. She knows I'm a nice guy. She knows I'm a Christian and I'm a priest. She knows I forgive her. Why do I have to say anything? You just got to. You can't just stay quiet. And so I said, well, wait a minute. Okay, let me put my argument. Let's just carry this one step further. I want you to think of the worst thing you've ever done in your life. It can't be a big deal for the second graders, but worst thing. Now, don't say it. I want you when I say to 3, I want you to look up and together, let's say loudly, I'm sorry, God. And so I say, 1, 2, 3, and 50 kids are going, I'm sorry, God. And then I say, okay, wait a minute. He's not responding. Maybe he didn't hear us. and I have them scream even louder, "I'm sorry, God!" And then I say, "You know what? He's acting just like me. I thought I was supposed to imitate him. He didn't say anything. So why should I?" I know he's a forgiving God. I know he forgives me. So why do I have to? Why? He just didn't say anything. Didn't Jesus say, "Be like your heavenly Father"? Well, I am. There you go. And of course, this throws the thing into confusion. And all the kids, and then I say, "Are you angry at him?" "Oh, no, no." You know, God always gets a pass. Right? The pastor doesn't, but God gets a pass. And then I say, "Don't you think that it would be important for God, whenever you're really sorry and whenever you really need to hear that it's okay that he forgives us, don't you ever think that it would be good for God to be able to say that?" And the answer is, of course. But if he said it, imagine every time somebody asked for God's forgiveness, the sky would break apart and you would hear, "It's okay." You would freak out. People would have heart attacks. It's not a good thing. Notice what Jesus says. He said to the apostles, "I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained." Why? Because he knew, like the apostles, we need to hear it. It's just like when you love somebody. When you love somebody, you tell them. You don't say, "I don't have to tell you." You know that. You tell them, "I love you." You say it. Because people need to hear it. They need to experience it. You touch them. You work it out. That's the whole point of the sacrament of penance. When people come to confession, I always remind people, "Look, you didn't do anything to me. I'm not there to forgive you from Mario's point of view. Most of the people I don't even know. They haven't done anything." But when I say those words, those three words, no, five, okay? When I say, "I absolve you from your sins," six, "in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit," that is not me. That is what the Catholic theology calls that the priest is talking in persona Christi. That is Jesus taking over the voice of the priest and speaking to you, directly to you. You can walk around in general believing that God all loves everybody. It's just like, imagine parents who never say, "I love you," to a kid, but a parent that says to their five kids, "I love all of you. I don't ever have to tell you individually because I love all of you." That's not enough. People need to hear it individually. And that's what the sacrament does. When you come and you stand before the priest, it's not because I need to hear it. God already knows it. But when you say it out loud, it's kind of admitting it to yourself. And when you most think you're going to be just torn apart, what happens? God comes out and says, "I am sorry, you. I forgive you. And that's for you." Now, just a few last points. When you go to confession, the attention should be on experiencing God's mercy. It should not be on counting
tiny, make sure that you get the sins exactly correct. That is wrong. When you go to the sacrament of reconciliation, the accent always needs to be to open your attention to focus on God's mercy. Say, the church says you have to say the most important sins, the mortal sins or the serious sins. And you can say a few, if you want, of your venial sins. But do you know that when we come to Mass, the Mass begins with the penitential rite. In the penitential rite, we say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And then the priest says, may Almighty God have mercy on you, on us. Doesn't say on you. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. And everybody says, amen. Which means, so be it. At that moment, Catholic Church teaching is that all of our venial sins are forgiven. All of them are forgiven at that moment. And remember, a sin is not an emotion. I get so many people that periodically say, well, Father, sometimes I feel angry. So, everybody feels angry. What do you do with your anger? The moment you choose to use your anger to hurt another person, that's the sin. But the sin is in the choice. It's not in the feelings. Folks, feelings are morally neutral. Feelings are morally neutral. It's what you choose to do with your feelings that it has a moral value, good or evil. I can see a beautiful girl in a bikini, and I can look at her and say, whew, beautiful. Now, I can be sexually attracted, but when does the sin occur? The sin occurs the moment I choose to abuse her in my head. Even in my head. It's not the fact that you felt something, okay? Or you're angry, or you are lazy. The moment you say, yes, I'm going to be... How many times have I heard people say, I didn't go to Mass on Sunday? And you go, well, why? Well, I was sick. Or I was traveling. Or I was taking care of my sick child. I said, then there's no obligation. Because the going to Mass on Sunday, if you say, gee, I could go to Mass today, and I know that the church says it's important, but no matter what, I'm just not going to go. That's the sin. It's not just, you know, I was sick, I couldn't go. Then there's no obligation. It's the same thing when you're traveling. If it's reasonable, then go to church. If it's not reasonable and you decide what reasonable is, then the obligation ceases to exist. The last point. When you go to confession, when you celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, everything is forgiven. Even the stuff you forgot. Okay? Sometimes I get people who say, oh, Father, last time I forgot to say something I did when I was 15. It was really bad. Okay? Really bad. And I go, did you actively hide it? Well, no, I just forgot. Then everything is forgiven. You're not just forgiven for the stuff you confess. You're forgiven for everything. Now, if you actively hide it, then, or if you do, my younger sister used to do something funny. When she first started going to confession, she would decide which sins she didn't want to confess. And then she'd skip them. And then she always confessed lying last. And she would add one to the number of lies depending on the sins she wanted to hide. Don't do that. Okay? That's just silly. Okay? So, but everything is forgiven. And then the last thing.
Stop picking at your sins. Stop picking at them. What do I mean by that? People come in and say, Father, I just have to confess this again. I don't think I confessed it right. And then they say, why? I say, why? Well, because I don't feel forgiven. And so I just got to say it one more time. I got to say it just right. No. And I say, no. I'm not forgiving you for that. And they go, what? Because if I gave you another absolution, it would mean that I'm not sure that your sins are forgiven. I would be cooperating in your sin. Your sin right now is not the sin you're worrying about. Your sin right now is doubting God's forgiveness. Your sin right now is looking at yourself and hating yourself instead of looking at God's mercy. I know sometimes you feel guilty. Sometimes when you sin and you do stuff, you feel bad for a long time. But feeling bad for a long time doesn't mean God hasn't forgiven you. It's like the story I use sometimes. If a child burns his hand touching a pot and you told him not to do it, and he comes to you and he says, me, please, Mom or Dad, forgive me for I touched the hot pot and I burned my hand. And you say, okay, sweetie, I forgive you. And then he looks at you and says, if you forgave me, why does it still hurt? What's the mistake? The mistake is the pain is not the punishment. The pain is the consequence. And what do most people do when they have emotional pain or pain from anything that they remember? They pick at it. You pick at it. It's like a scab. You keep picking at it. And when you pick at it, it makes it worse. So, if you don't feel forgiven, that's an issue in itself, not a sin. All you need to do is look at God and say, I'm feeling horrible about this, but I'm asking you for the grace to trust and to focus more on your mercy than on my guilt. Because what the devil is trying to do is trying to make you believe that you're not forgiven and that that's why it hurts. It's just like the kid. That's the reason why this hurts is because mommy hasn't forgiven you. Mommy forgave you. It's normal. A sin is like a wound in the soul. It's got to take time to heal. So, the sacrament of penance is awesome. It is awesome. But don't receive it because, first of all, you're scared that, you know, well, if, you know, if you're horrible, did something horrible, yeah, I think it's important to go. But I get people sometimes that go every 2-3 days, and that's unnecessary. Go to Mass. Go to Mass until, and if you have a mortal sin, okay. But for God's sake, receive the sacrament, remembering that it's God's way of hugging you, of God's way of saying, peace be with you. And that he says, peace be with you, because you know, he knows, you're a mess and you're embarrassed. And the forgiveness and the mercy is displayed before the contrition. God bless.